Hello, everybody. I'm Matt Seidel, along with Derek Seidel and Josh Trope, and this is Coach Speak. Gentlemen, welcome to week 9 of Pigskin Picks. We have reached the end of the road. This is our final week. Man, it's gone fast. The high school football season, regular season coming to an end as well. Before we get started, fellas, how are you?
Doing well. The weather's definitely getting colder here, so it's starting to feel like basketball. Definitely getting the itch for basketball. Excited to watch some football this coming week. Because like you said, it's really coming down the stretch here, and we're heading into the playoffs, and there's some really good games this week. Even
doing great. Attended the Lumen Christi boys tennis banquet tonight. Great event. Held at Calderon Farms is a really good time tonight. And then I couldn't be better. I'm ecstatic, excited. Just to be knowing I'm going to be back on the sidelines again and coaching basketball. So I'm excited. Great staff, couple Hall of Famers over at Lumen Christi. It's going to be really fun to be in the gym and coaching again.
Yeah, for those living under a rock, Coach Trope, as predicted on this podcast by at least 2/3 of the podcast, has returned to his head coaching status at Lumen Christi High School. As of, I guess, officially, according to Lumen Christi today, this has obviously been in the works for about a week now. We will be having more fun with this down the road, maybe even tomorrow on social media. But we're going to get to our football picks right now. Coach Trope, and we use that word with great pride now, head coach Trope, leading our competition at 50-30 after an impressive 7-3 week last week. He is 4 games ahead of both Derek, who went 6-4 last week, and myself, who went a week 5-5. Derek and I are both 46-34, so we are 4 games behind the young fella, or the old fella, or the medium age fella in this group. So we're going to maybe have to take some chances. I've got a different approach this week, which I will share with you guys shortly. Derek may have a more intellectual approach. So we're going to get started, and man, we are going to start with the game of the week, the one that we've been waiting for all year long. This is Dexter sitting 8-0, traveling to Chelsea. Chelsea is, 5-3 and coming off 2 tough losses. Derek, what are your thoughts about this one? You're going to lead us off.
Yeah, I mean, Dexter, a week ago, they got the big win over Celine. It looked like an awesome environment, a really good game. It was close all the way through, just following it on social media. Obviously, Cabana had 3 touchdowns, and the defense came up big multiple times for them to get to 8-0 and be outright SEC red champs, which is an awesome feat, especially considering how long it's been for Dexter. With all that being said, they have another streak that they need to look to snap here. And this is, this is probably on paper the best chance they've had in a long, long time, but 26 years now since they beat Chelsea. I know, I remember there was, I think there was maybe 1 year when I was in school, maybe 2, like when I was in high school, where like they really were kind of feeling like they had a chance, and they definitely didn't have a chance. I really do think this year is the year to do it. Obviously, it being on the road is going to make this tough. Chelsea's going to bring their A game, everything that they've got, anything they have stored up, any trick plays, stuff like that. I mean, they got to whatever they can do, I'm sure, is going to be brought out here. No, nothing's going to be left in the bag, as you could say. So I expect it to be a good game. I'm actually hoping to be there. I think, thank goodness, the Napoleon game is on Saturday since they won the Cascades. I'm free on Friday night, and I'm going to spend that time over in Chelsea checking this game out, is my hope. So I think this should be a really good game, really exciting. I think Dexter just has too much talent. At the end of the day, we've talked about these guys all year long, so I'm going with the Dreadnoughts in this one.
Dexter is loaded. They're having a great year, obviously the best season they've ever had. You know, I think they have a chance to make a really deep run in the state playoffs, and they deserve all the rankings and attention they're getting. They've had a great run here these last 3 or 4 years. They came close to beating Chelsea in Coach Lucas's first year when Parachek didn't connect with no time left up to one of his receivers. Might even got intercepted in the end zone. It kind of end of regulation there. But that was the closest game I had ever seen between the two schools. That being said, Chelsea is reeling in a lot of ways with two losses. And last week was a bad loss. They went on the road, I think it was 46-7 to Edwardsburg. So, you know, everything points to Dexter finally breaking the streak. And I don't think they're going to do it. I think Chelsea is going to bear down this week, have a great week of practice. I think the home crowd will rally behind them, the community will rally behind them. And I think when it comes down to it, the moment will be a little too big for Dexter. And I like Chelsea winning a really close one here, 28-27.
Okay, yeah, Chelsea, how about that, man? They have given up 90 points the last 2 weeks, and I can't remember the last time I would ever say that. So this week, I have not done well enough to stay tight in this competition, so I am going to I'm going to rely on some outside sources to do my picking. So each of my games this week will be picked by someone who I reached out to via text, and they responded beautifully. My first guy picking the Dexter-Chelsea game, I reached out to Cal Balvanaugh, last year's quarterback, and of course, a point guard who used to take it to Trope on a regular basis. But anyway, here is Cal's response. He says, I'm going to pick Dexter. I know it's said every year, but this year's Dexter team is different. Dexter is 8-0, ranked number one in Division Two. I don't think that Chelsea can stop Cole Cabana, and if they do, they don't have anyone to cover Brennan Parachek. Dexter's defense is the best it has ever been, only allowing 14 points to a good Celine team last week. So this is the year they get it done, and he is sad that he will not be in attendance at the game, but he finishes it off with a typical go Dreads. So I am going with Dexter in this game. All right, that's game number one. Let's move to game number two. We have Clinton 8-0 at Hudson 8-0. Somebody is going to get an L in this game. And Josh, you're going to start us off.
Well, I first want to say Cal was an incredible competitor and a great basketball player. And I'm also really glad to say that he lost his last game ever against Chelsea in basketball. So this game, I have to give a lot of credit and a shout out to Doug Donnelly, who covers Lenawee County Sports and has a podcast of his own. He really supplied me with a ton of information for this game for the podcast. Clinton is the number one ranked team in Division Six. Hudson is the number two ranked team in Division Seven. Clinton is 20-38-1 all time against Hudson and lost last year 36-28. Both teams rely on the run. Hudson is a two-headed monster with Stottman and Akers. Both have right around 800 yards rushing. Arundondo, I believe is how you pronounce their quarterback's name. He has thrown for 775 yards this year, impressively thrown for 10 touchdowns and one interception. And then their star receiver is a basketball star who attended our summer classic a couple of years ago, Ambrose Horvath. And he has 26 catches on the year for a little over 500 yards and five touchdowns. Clinton, on the other hand, is a three-headed monster in the backfield with Shadley, Lehman, and Preston, all over 350 yards on the year, and they between 70 and 90 carries between the three of them. Now, Clinton really struggles to throw the football. They're 30-70 on the year, and they've only thrown for 491 yards. I'm sorry, 491 yards. So I think what's going to happen is Hudson is a little more diverse, and they're going to win out in this game and take care of business.
Okay. Both teams have had one close LCAA game this year, a very low scoring affair against Ida. So it's kind of a common opponent. It's kind of interesting. My source for this one is Clinton JV basketball coach, Greg Dutton, obviously a Napoleon name there. I'm not going to paraphrase what Greg sent me because Josh covered a lot of it, but he really, you know, used a lot of the same names. He also mentioned, there's two Shadleys, of course, and a sophomore named Jacob Phelps, but he points to the offensive line of Clinton as very impressive. He calls him a very Michigan-like offensive line. Man, that got my attention right there when he said that. He has great respect for Hudson. He mentioned Strottman. He mentioned Horvath. he worries that Horvath, against that secondary, a good secondary that Clinton has, could be a key to this game. But he kind of feels Clinton has enough to get it done. He also pointed to the fact that the sophomore quarterback, Andy Fair, was 4 or 5 through the air last week, and that he's getting a little bit better each week. So his prediction is Clinton 27, Hutson 22. So I am going to go with Clinton in this one.
Man, you guys covered this game with a ton of detail. And I'm in lockstep with both you guys. I think, like you said, Hutson may be a little bit more diverse with their game plan. They can throw the ball a little bit more successfully, but I don't know. I think I'm going to go with Clinton. They impressed me all year long. I know when we picked their first game against Notre Dame Prep, I picked Notre Dame Prep, and they definitely took it to them, which is an impressive win still to this point in the season. And like you said, they're very eerily similar throughout the year. I'm going to give the edge here to Clinton, even though they're going on the road. I just have a weird feeling that this is their year. They've struggled against Hutson the last couple of years in close games, but I think this is the year that they get it done.
Okay, game number 3, man. We have a couple of 5-3 teams. Huron at Holt. Holt coming off a 16-13 upset win over East Lansing. Both of these teams, interestingly enough, have won 5 of 6 after 0-2 starts. Huron beat Lincoln 50-7 last week. My source here is Ann Arbor Huron teacher and Father Gabriel Richard girls basketball coach Tim Kane. And here's what Coach Kane had to say. He goes, speed, power, and experience are all on Huron's side. He says they're battle-tested with that big win on the road against Bedford. He said they almost knocked Dexter off on the road during Dexter's homecoming, so that was noted. He said he thinks they're peaking at the right time. They've outscored their last two opponents 117-7. He pointed to a guy named Bruce Williams, who was closing in on the sack record in the state of Michigan, and a guy named Laith Shama as the best D-line combo in the state. And they also have the number one kicker in the state in Adam Samaha. He calls for a Huron 38, Holt 21 final. So I am going with the River Rats in this one.
I'm in agreement with you here. I'm taking the River Rats as well. I think that they've been pretty impressive after that shocking start against Lapeer. I mean, even the Celine game in the second game of the year where they lost was a tough game, and they were right there in that Dexter game. Those are their only other two losses after the Lapeer game. So I think that they're rolling. This is really a test of Josh's theory where he says that the SEC is not very good at football. Well, this is a good chance to test that theory. I think two teams that look similar on paper, one of them from the SEC, but I'm going with the River Rats.
I'm taking the River Rats as well.
Yeah. Nice research on that game. In other words, that was a strategic pick by you to just try to hang with us so we can't gain any ground.
I picked different the first two. I'm starting to get a little worried about my lead.
You should. And nice analysis there. So anyway, okay, our fourth game. Man, another big one here. And this is another Saturday game. Napoleon 8-0 at Union City, the champions of the Big Eight. Union City is 7-1 this year. Derek, that's the one you're going to be attending on Saturday. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm excited to travel out to Union City. That's quite the drive, but I'm happy to make it for a conference crossover championship game, whatever they call it. This will be the last one between the Big Eight and the Cascades, with the Cascades expanding next year. With this one, we've talked about Napoleon a lot all year. They had a solid win over Addison a week ago. They really struggled to slow down Addison in the first half, but they got the stops they needed in the second half, and they were able to score all night long against them. Doing some research on Union City, you know, they lost their first game of the year, but then they've been 7-0 since. The biggest thing that stood out to me was they're extremely young. Like, all of their guys who put up key stats at the skill position spots are young. Their quarterback, Elijah Payne, is a sophomore. He's got pretty solid numbers. Their top running back, Luke Watson, is a junior, 95 carries for 645 yards is what I saw on Max Preps. They have another running back who's put up good numbers, Dylan McDonald, who's only a sophomore. And their top two wide receivers in terms of numbers are Rich Austin. I can't read my own handwriting once again. That's becoming a theme on this podcast. He's a sophomore. And then Jeremy Zier, who's a junior. So again, they're very young, which I think is interesting. Napoleon has some young guys as well, but they have a really experienced group up front. So I think they're going to rely on that experience and keep the momentum going here into the playoffs. I'm taking Napoleon in a close one. I do think, you know, Union City does, from what I've heard, they mix a little bit between systems. They run some T, they run some, you know, some I, some spread. So they may mix it up some, which is kind of similar to Napoleon. So they're a pretty similar matchup, but I'm obviously going with the Pirates.
Union City beat Addison by 10. Napoleon beat Addison by 18. I think that Luma Christie will play possibly both Napoleon and Union City in the playoffs, but definitely open with one of them if they stay in the area. So I'm really intrigued by this game. I like Napoleon as well. I think that they're playing better right now.
Union City's only blemish is a 20-14 season opening loss to Centerville. Their common opponents are Springport and Addison, and the scores are pretty similar in those games. That leads me to my guest picker this week, and that is Springport head coach Matt Rohde, who had the unenviable task of coaching against both of them this year. And here's his take on the game. He thinks they're both talented. He's going to give the edge to Union City, and he says it has nothing to do with the fact that they're part of the Big Eight. He says their defense is one of the most physical defenses he's seen in a long time. He thinks they can stop Napoleon's run game without taking anybody out of the secondary. They also have the defensive line, he thinks, to keep Grant Bradley contained so he doesn't get out of the pocket and wreak havoc, as he called it. He thinks Napoleon will move the ball in the air a little bit, but not enough to win the game. He thinks it's going to be low scoring. He knows Napoleon has a very good defense as well, but he thinks Union City is real content on just picking up 3 to 4 yards of carry out of that full house tee, eating up entire quarters sometimes in one drive. So it could be one of those games, Derek. You might be out of there in an hour and a half on Saturday. He's got Union City winning 21-13. So I'm going to go with those guys. All right. I forgot Union City's nickname. What's the Union City nickname? No, don't make me look it up. God. Dang, it's right across the middle of their basketball court. Tells you how much I remember that trip. So
they're maroon, but I don't know why. I can't think of it either.
All right, I feel bad now. All right, moving on. Josh, we get to finally talk about your alma mater, South Lions 6-2 at South Lion East 6-2. Was South Lion East even around when you went to school?
It was not. We're going to get to that in a minute, by the way.
Okay, all right.
South Lion Lions are 6-2. They're a high-scoring team with two losses when they've given up 40-plus points in both those games in those losses. South Lion East is also 6-2. Both teams lost to Wall Lake Western, a really good Wall Lake Western. And until the last 2 weeks, East has been a high scoring team where they've been shut down the last 2 weeks, but still been able to win games. The history, East is 1-13 all time versus South Lion. 2017 was their only win. The enrollment is almost exactly the same. One school, 1298, the other with 1165. So no real advantage there. Listen, there's always only going to be one South Lion, and that is the South Lion Lions, baby. Welcome to the jungle. The Lions will roar on Friday.
Man, South Lion, I worked in South Lion for 5 years, 85 and 90 at the newspaper there. And, man, the days of Dan Skatska and Bob Schlosky and that football program, that was a legitimate football program, the Welcome to the Jungle stuff. This was before the new school was built and definitely before South Lion East. So I have good memories there. I tried to think of someone to call to get a pick for South Lion. I literally don't know anybody that lives there anymore. So I dialed up Nick Flynn. Nick was a former South Lion basketball player who played AAU basketball with Tony a couple years that I coached him. And Nick cannot give me much analysis. He doesn't even know who plays for him anymore, but he was very adamant. He's a South Lion graduate. He says, I will ride with my dogs. And he said that a couple times in a text message. So I am picking the South Lion Lions in this one. Derek, what do you got?
Oh, man. That's good stuff. I think I remember when South Lion East was opening up because we were playing in the Big Cat League around that time. They opened up in, it looked like 2007, which was right around the time we were getting into the Big Cat League with played out there at South Lion, a little bit at South Lion East. Those are good memories for sure. Their scores are similar. Like I said, historically South Lion is clearly, and even recent history here, just South Lion has been really, really good. You know what? Just to be different, you know, why not take a chance at this point? I'm very slim chance of me winning this anyways. I'm going with South Lion East. Why not? They're at home. And it's a chance for me to make up a game on you guys, more likely lose another one, but it is what it is.
That's a smart pick. Smart pick. All right. Game six, man, another big one. This is a Saturday night game. The KLAA top seeds, the winners of each division. We have Belleville 8-0, as both of you, I think, referred to the University of Belleville last week, at Brighton, also 8-0. And man, I mean, we've talked about both these teams on the podcast in terms of their players. Just both of them have tremendous talent. They're well coached. They've been relevant for a long time. Belleville, obviously, the defending state champion. This is at Brighton. Does that make a difference? Maybe. Belleville, I don't think they're going to be intimidated by a Brighton crowd, or it's going to be a Saturday game too, which is kind of weird. My source in this one was Belleville head basketball coach Adam Trumpour. Even though he doesn't have not many of his basketball players play football, if any, I'm not sure how connected he is, but he's part of the vibe over there when it comes to football. And yeah, he made it really simple. He goes, basically, our talent level is simply too much for Brighton, and we, being Belleville, is just flat out loaded. So I'm gonna take that as Belleville is gonna win this game. So I've been picking the Tigers all year. Why not? But it's hard to pick against this Brighton team. If anybody's gonna beat Belleville, it might be a program like Brighton.
Yeah, it's crazy when you look at this. I mean, Brighton's only allowed double digit points in three games all year. Yeah. The most they allowed is 21 points. They allowed 14 two other times. And then if you flip over to Belleville, the least that they've scored in the game is 41 against Novi to open the season. And so they basically pick their number week in and week out. If you're going to get behind Brighton in this one and say they're going to get the job done, you got to come up with a way that they're going to hold them in the 20s, I think. And that just seems like an impossible task. Given what Belleville has shown all year. But like you said, if anyone's going to do it, I think it's Brighton. This is, I would say with pretty good confidence, this is the best team that Belleville has played. I think Brighton maybe is going to be more used to playing in competitive close games if they can make it be that. But at the end of the day, I'm going with the talent that Belleville has. And they're the favorite, obviously, in this game. I think if you had a line or whatever, but I got to go with them, but I wouldn't be totally shocked if Brighton makes this close and if they keep it a little lower scoring.
I could see these two teams playing again in the state finals. They go in different directions on Snooze to You right now. I mean, these two teams could be two of the best three or four teams in the entire state, regardless of class. That being said, I'm going with Belleville on Saturday night. I think that's a disadvantage to Brighton that they're playing this on Saturday. I don't know why they moved that, if the league told them to move it or what, but I'll be pulling for Brighton because I'd like to see Belleville get upset, but I don't think they have the horses to do it.
Okay. Our final high school game of the week. We have Jackson Northwest 4-4 at Marshall 4-4. Both of these teams trying to get above 500. I'm not even really sure where their playoff standings are. They're both probably on the bubble somewhere. Derek, what do you think on this one?
Yeah, so with Northwest at 4-4, you know, their biggest issue when it comes to the playoff situation is their division. They're Division 3. And, you know, they play some schools that are smaller than them, so they really don't have a chance in this game, I don't think, even if they win. If you look at it, like, they're just pretty far down the list when it comes to playoff points. However, they've just made such great strides this year. And, you know, for them to cap off this season at 5-4 would be really nice. I mean, they didn't win a game last year, did they? Weren't they 0-9? Maybe I'm getting that wrong, but they maybe won one game a year ago. So this is a huge step for them from last year, this year. And I think this is absolutely a winnable game for them to try to get above 500. So I think that they'll still be engaged and out there trying to get this victory. Now, Marshall, on the other hand, when I looked it up earlier today, I had them at 35th in Division 4 in playoff points, which means, and they're playing a D3 school in Northwest. So if they win this game, they have a very good chance of making the playoffs. I mean, obviously things are never guaranteed. If all the teams ahead of them win, they may not get in. But so I think they have much more on the line in this game. They're also 4-4, but they are on a three-game losing streak, and they've just been like destroyed in some of those games. Now they're playing the best teams in the I-8 in that stretch, or some of the best teams in the I-8. So that does make it tough. When you look at the common scores, I know Marshall, they beat Harper Creek, whereas Northwest lost to Harper Creek. That's really kind of the one difference within the league. So I think because of that, and along with the factor that I think this, in terms of playoff perspective, means a little more for Marshall, I'm going to go with Marshall in this game.
It does not mean more for Marshall. It means so much for Northwest to get a fifth win, regardless of making the playoffs. They might have a parade just for having a winning season. Mountie Nation, let's ride. The Mounties get the win on Friday night. I'm dying to know if Seidel called one of the Moffitts.
Yes, I did. I did contact John Moffitt on this one. Marshall, lost three in a row and only scored one touchdown in those three games. That they have been getting housed lately. Northwest, however, has not beaten Marshall since they joined the I-8 in 2014. John Moffitt was my source, head boys basketball coach at Northwest. I knew where his pick was going with this one. He is not going to pick against his basketball player and starting quarterback, J.R. Morrow, a scrappy, tough 6-foot wing player for the Mounties hoop squad. John was kind of short and sweet on this one. Basically, he just picked Northwest. He feels like, almost as Josh said, the motivation to finish above 500 will carry them in this one. So I am going to go as well with the Mounties to beat Marshall in this game. So, all right, that takes us to our college games, and let it be known that we let the whining Josh Trope pick again, the three Michigan and Michigan State, who he's tired of picking, are on bye week. So we let him decide which three college games we're going to pick. And here we go. He's going to lead off the first one. We have Eastern Michigan University 4-3 at Ball State 4-3. Ball State is a 2.5-point favorite. Josh, what do you think about this one?
All right, I'll lead us off, Matt. Hey, listen, I picked this game for one of our best listeners, TC Cameron, and hopefully you made that phone call. We'll see where that works out. You got a lot of EMU ties, so I don't know where you went with that. But I know TC's been giving us some slack on the pod for not picking an EMU game, so here you go. Both teams come into the game at 4-3 and looking to take one step closer to bowl eligibility. EMU is led by Taylor Powell at quarterback, Samson Evans on the ground, and Tanner New at receiving. Ball State is led by John Paddock at quarterback, Carson Steele on the ground, and Jay Sean Jackson at wide receiver. Ball State comes in with a 3-game win streak, and EMU just got beat up by Northern Illinois. The game is at Ball State, and they beat Northern Illinois this year. So I'm going with Ball State. Sorry.
All right. Well, TC Cameron was my source. TC, of course, is an author, a writer, and a football and basketball official. He lives in Maryland now. I stay in touch with him, kind of reconnected with him a couple years ago. He lives and dies with EMU stuff. He thinks they're in desperation mode. That loss last week to a 1-5 Northern Illinois team made no sense to anybody. And that also would have, put them in control of the MAC West. He again is still high on Eastern. He noted that they've beaten Western four straight years, and this is a very good team. He mentioned that they've beaten four Power Five schools in the last five years. They've won enough games to go to four bowl games in the last 6 years. He was quoting all kinds of stuff. He wrote me a book. I'm only paraphrasing some of this, but at some point he mentioned they've got to become more consistent. He's hoping this is the time. The next 2 weeks, he says, are going to tell the story. They got Ball State this week, and then they're home in a nationally televised game on ESPNU with Toledo. Cardinals have won three straight in this rivalry, one score games. They beat Eastern 38-31 in 21. They beat 20 and 29-23 in 2019. He also noted some of the guys, but his pick here is he thinks the Green Machine, as he calls them, are going to get back in the win column with a 37-24 win over Ball State. So there we go. Derek, you get to decide. We're 1-1 on this one so far.
Yeah, this is a interesting game for sure. I think, this season for Eastern, I think the memorable piece has got to be, the fact that they put an end to Herm Edwards, right? That's going to, in the end zone, two after the game. They didn't even let him get to the locker room before they were letting him know that he's going to be gone in that game at Arizona State. So they'll be remembered for that probably for years. They'll be showing that clip over and over again. But yeah, weird season, a lot of rubber band effect going on here where they win a game, lose a game, you know, big wins. And then, like you said, puzzling losses. With that in mind, you could say, hey, they just lost a game. So maybe they're going to bounce back this week. Man, I'm really wanting to take Ball State here, but since I'm getting a few points with Eastern and to go opposite of Josh, just to by some miracle chance I can catch him, I think I'll go with Eastern in this one.
I do want to point out that the spread was Ball State -2.5, right? Is that what you had?
Correct.
Okay. And with all these picks, you guys are going to have a legit shot at catching me this week.
Mm, that was the idea, my man.
Yeah.
So, or we might end up losing by 10. So that also could happen too. All right. Our ninth game. And this is it's a big one on the West Coast. And we have UCLA 6-0 traveling to Eugene, Oregon to play the Ducks, who are 5-1. The host Ducks are 6-point favorites in this game. I think everyone is expecting a high scoring game here. And I would have to agree. I, as a fan, am intrigued by, you know, the running backs in this game. You got Bucky Irving from Oregon. You got Zach Charbonnet from UCLA, of course, of Michigan ties, not to mention the two quarterbacks. I love when quarterbacks are named Bo Nix from Oregon. And we got the old DTR. Is that his nickname? Dorian Thompson Robinson from UCLA. So those are just some of the big names, but these are two really good football teams. My source here, and this was it, Jake Fosdick. I'm telling you, he literally, his text messages to me, they were incoherent. I have no idea what he was texting me for a while. He's got a spell check or something, but finally we got to some substance, and his best quote was this. He says, and of course he's talking about the little basketball controversy that's going on right now with Juwan Howard in Oregon, but he says he's picking UCLA. He goes, UCLA because Juwan Howard doesn't know Oregon anything. And if you've been following that story, which I really wasn't until I looked it up, that makes a little more sense. So I am going with the Bruins in this one.
Definitely an interesting game. You know, the Pac-12 is dying for games like this, man. I think game day is going to be out there. They really have a lot of national coverage on this game, and it's a 3:30 game as well. So we can actually watch it and don't have to stay up till 1 a.m. I know for some people, that's not a problem. For me, I struggle to stay up that late. But yeah, really interesting matchup. Bo Nix has been really good at home. You know, he really lit up. What was it, BYU a couple of weeks ago and stuff. And so we'll see how this goes. I think coming into the year, everyone thought Oregon was a better team. UCLA has really kind of been surprising a few people with some of these games recently. But yeah, it's a tough one to pick. Let's see. Since I'm just going to go with the underdog, I think, is my plan. So I'm going to go with UCLA.
I am also going with UCLA because Coach Mick Cronin is my doppelganger, and I'm going with the Bruins. And I know it's paining both of you to actually talk about real football and watch a football game outside of the Midwest, but this is going to be a great stuff at 3:30. You two probably didn't even watch Alabama, Tennessee last week, but hopefully you'll turn this on the TV.
Probably going to be asking my wife what she wants to do this weekend, since we got a Saturday off from real football with the Wolverines taking a break, but we'll see. Anyway, our final game of the year here, and it's going to be an interesting game. I'm not even sure why Josh picked this one, but hey, it's Josh's show right now, so here we go. We have Syracuse 6-0 at Clemson 7-0, and Clemson comes into this game as a 13.5-point favorite. Derek, lead us off.
Yeah, Dino Babers. I mean, a lot of people were thinking this was kind of just his last year here. Like, you know, it's probably not going to go well. He's going to be fired, whatever. And lo and behold, they're undefeated here. I think that they are undefeated due to an easy schedule / luck. I watched some of their game against Purdue. That was the wackiest end to a football game I've ever seen. Purdue had like a bazillion penalties on a single drive that led to Syracuse winning. Syracuse beat NC State a week ago, which looks really good on paper, but I believe NC State was without their quarterback. I didn't watch the game, but I'm pretty sure that's a fact. Clemson, They are not the Clemson of a few years ago where they were just rolling teams, but DJ Uyelangalele, DJU, as we I will refer to him because I can't recall or can't pronounce that very well. He has not lived up to expectations. You know, when he got on the Dr. Pepper commercials and stuff a year ago, we thought maybe he was going to be the next Trevor Lawrence there, but he really has been solid. I've only watched bits and pieces of Clemson this year. I've watched a few drives, and I think he's made some really nice plays. He runs the ball well, throws it around enough, and their defense is really good. So I'm going to take Clemson in this one at home. I think they kind of make a statement here against a team that's maybe not as good as their record makes them seem.
Spot on, Derek. Clemson makes a huge statement and solidifies their spot in the top four. They cruise the rest of the way and right on into the playoff. I like Clemson covering at home.
Dang it. You know, I've gone with my guest pickers the entire show. My guest picker in this one was my new assistant coach, Evan Jones. Great guy. PE teacher at Olivet, going to be my assistant. His comment was huge disparity in the trenches and on the edges, and the Syracuse quarterback is below average. So he says, pick Clemson. The fact that both of you pick Clemson, and the fact that I want Evan to know that when he's whispering in my ear during the season, that I'm only probably ever going to use what he says about 1 out of 10 times. So I want to start sending a message to him right now. So I'm going to go against what Evan says, and I'm going to go with Syracuse in this one to somehow stay within 13. I don't know how they're going to do it. My gut says probably Clemson, but strategically, I think I got to take a chance on this one and go with Syracuse and also make sure Evan knows what's up. So anyway, that concludes Pigskin Picks for this year. I'm not sure we'll ever do this again. This took up quite a bit of time and research, but we had a great time with it. I just, man, I hope we can catch Trope. We can't have Trope. He's on cloud nine right now. He's got a new head coaching job. And if he wins the Pigskin Picks, I mean, he may never come down. So, but we shall see. I guess we'll know a little bit more by the end of the day on Saturday. Fellas, it's been fun.
It has. And it's kind of funny that we end the season picking Eastern, talking about TC when he kind of inspired us to come back to this.
No doubt. No doubt. Oh, man. All right. Well, hey, you guys take care. We will talk to you soon.